And welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And do we have anyone to read the 12 steps?
Jerome, grateful recovering alcoholic. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Jerome. And I'm so sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me. So today we're hearing a talk on step
10 with Sandra H. from Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome, Sandra.
Oh, wow, that was quick. Hi, I'm Sandra. I'm an alcoholic. Super grateful to be here today. Can we start with another quiet time, please? Thank you. God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you would. Relieve me from the bondage of me, that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. of your power, your love, and your way of life. I ask that you remove my ego, my self-representative, out of the way, and let my true self come in and allow me to share the message that you would have me give today on step 10. Thank you. So I don't know, all of a sudden I got real nervous. Sandra, alcoholic. Thank you, Kristen, for asking me to come out and share. Couple of things. I do have a sobriety date. I'm trying to see where the timer is at. There she is. Thank you, Desiree, for your service. My sobriety date is February the 14th, 2003, and I am actively sponsored. My sponsor knows where I'm at today. She would be here, but she's in an all-day training. And I have a home group. We meet. It's actually hybrid, so all are absolutely welcome. I can put that information in a chat for hybrid. The information is 535-926-2809. The password would be 101342. And we meet in Chicago, Illinois, 4900 North Damon at St. Evangelical Church. What else? And I do sponsor today, and I'm really, really grateful to have this gift. So step 10, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I was asked to speak on. And let me just read, like to read the actual step. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I love this. This has become one of my favorite steps. All of them are like my favorite steps these days. But before this step, I love it because it talks about continue to take personal inventory and my inventory, not you all's inventory. And of course, there's 9 steps prior to this one that I went through with my sponsor. From the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am sponsored from this book, which I consider my guide. This is my study guide, through life these days. And let me just read on page 84, where it talks about, this brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and to set right any new mistakes. So at this point, the old mistakes, like I've had an opportunity to do a huge chunk of amends, and I love it because this work is for me, it is a lifelong process. You know, it's not like my experience so far, it's not like a one and done, type of deal. It's not a race. And I love because these steps meet me where I'm at. And, so at this point of my sobriety at step 10, I have this amazing relationship with a God of my understanding, that's not judgmental, that loves me absolutely as I am with all my imperfections. And it's my imperfections that allows me to continue to seek and become closer and get closer to the God of my understanding. And so let me continue reading here on page 84 from the big book. It says, we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. And so we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I love it because there are clear cut directions in here. Like I don't need to try and guess of what to do or figure anything out. Like the plan, it's already been laid out. And for me, I don't know. I need clear cut directions. And so how do I grow in understanding and effectiveness? I continue to seek, I ask the God of my understanding, how to be present. What is it that you would have me do today? And live in the moment. And sometimes that's not always easy to do. What else? So Oh, it's right here. This is not an overnight matter. I'm so glad that that's right there, because I thought that I had to get this really, really quick. I was one of those who came in here and I needed to hurry up and sober up so I could drink like a lady. Didn't happen, y'all. It did not happen, because I was one of those. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous to show you all, my family and everybody, and I'm not an alcoholic. And here I am. I'm still here 20 years later. Very different, though. I'm not the same person that I was when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have to admit, it is definitely a direct result of steps like this one, step 10. And a relationship with the God of my understanding, and sitting down and doing a work with other people. Like, oh my God, what a gift. Okay, so back over here to where it talks about, oh, it is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch. And so I love, these are the four things that I'm constantly looking for throughout the day, right? So continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I am so glad at this point, all the way down over here in step 10, it talks about these are the things that I need to continue to watch for. Because when I was new, I thought, oh my God, like I'm feeling resentful, you know? So now that I'm sober, I thought, this is how I thought in the beginning. So I shouldn't still be feeling selfish. I still shouldn't be afraid. I still shouldn't be thinking about myself or still lying or being dishonest. That's me trying to be perfect. So I love today that it's about progress, you know, and the progression here is realizing that these things are going to still come up. But what's amazing, what is absolutely amazing and a gift and what I've been all about is that I have some tools. So when the selfishness shows up, I get to look at it. You know, I get to look at it, discard it. First of all, I have to discover it, make sure, you know, be aware of it, that it's there. When I'm being dishonest, you know, what's going on here? And a lot of times there's underlying fear going on. You know, what is it that I'm afraid of? You know, some need that I think won't be met. You know, some, I'm always afraid of losing something that I think I deserve, that I think I should get. So, and here it is, it's right here, y'all. It's in a book. I'm not making this up. When these crop up, what do I do? What do I do when they crop up? Not if, but when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. But before God can remove it, I always have to do the work around it. You know, there's always work for me. You know, it is a continual journey inward. Not outside. The gifts are within. The solution is within. So after I've done my work, I ask God to remove it. Remove them. I love it. Remove them. Because it's more than one, right? We discuss them with someone immediately and we make amends quickly. If we've harmed anyone, I get to do this work. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we could help, right? And then it's like right back in the service. You know what I mean? Just immediately out of self. And so these are the codes that I attempt to live, that I am living by today. Not attempt, I'm living by these today. Love and tolerance of others. It's our code. Like I got a code to live by today. That's way different from the codes that I was living by before coming in here. The codes before these steps was mine, me, where's mine? Take. And so it says we have ceased fighting. So at this point, I'm done, you all. There's no more fighting. I don't have to fight anymore. That isn't that amazing news? Like I came here, I was a fighter. I was rebellious. I was, I belonged to like, what is that? The debate team, you know, always had an argument, always, you know, my fists were always balled up, you know, ready. And today I ain't got to fight no more, you all. So it says we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, even alcohol. So it says for sure, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. It talks about, you know, we recoil from it like a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. And that continues to be my experience. Like there's, you know, these steps, it comes to a point in my life, in my sobriety, where these steps work me. You know, it's just like second nature now, you know. We will see that our new attitude. So at this point, I got a new attitude, you all. I got a new attitude toward liquor that has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. Okay. Again, we are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel that we have been placed in a position of neutrality. A position of neutrality. I am safe and protected. I'm loved and cared for because I have some spiritual tools, because I have a connection. I'm connected today, you all. You know, I just remember not wanting to connect to people. You know, it's just like, oh, it's just going to be me and my God. That's it. I can do this. Me and my God, me and my God. Well, me and my God drank. Me and my God used to steal. Me and my God took drugs. You know what I mean? So I need people in my life. I need people in my life. I need a sponsor that has gone through this work, a grand sponsor that has showed her. You know, I used to hear this guy say, people who need people are the luckiest people. You know, and it's just a gift. It's just a gift. So also, people are reflection. Like I can easily be happy, joyous, and free, right? Like all by myself, being the only human being on a planet. That wouldn't be much fun, you know? But how am I interacting with God's other kids? You know, that's the peace. That's the gift. You know, that's where I really get to be a practitioner. With these principles, with this particular principle, or with all of them, you know, how am I behaving with God's other children? You know, am I kind? Am I loving? Am I thoughtful? Am I considerate? You know? Okay, so where am I at? I can't see that. I think that's like 16 minutes or 10 minutes. We've ceased fighting. Okay, so we feel as though we have been placed, yeah, in a position, neutrality, safe and protected. Safe and protected. Guys, I have an amazing life today, and it has nothing to do with anything outside of me. I just recently, here I am, 20 years sober, 57 years old, and this year, I said I was going to work on getting my driver's license. I've never, ever had a driver's license before. So I just recently got my permit. And for some, like, this may not be a big deal for other people, right? But this is huge for me. Because I remember 15 years ago, my sponsor had given me an assignment. And it was to get my driver's license. Because I had this huge resentment with people that drove. I felt victimized because I couldn't drive. Then what I found out, that was a fear of mine. I had a fear around getting my driver's license, going to get my permit. And I don't know what all of that was connected to. It was connected to, what if I don't pass the test? You know, it's like, wow, Sandra, you can always take it again. And here it is. I passed the test on the first one. I took it in 12 minutes. I was done in 12 minutes. I got all of them right except one. You know what I mean? And so it's crazy, though, how powerful and paralyzing fear can be. And I don't even realize that. you know? And so I love where it's like, it's real easy for me to be like, yeah, yeah, I got this amazing God. And, you know, God is all powerful and all that, but there can still be some fear in different areas. Oh my gosh, I just love this work and the revelation that continues to come up. Anyway, let me get back to what this book was talking about or is talking about. So safe and protected, right? So we have not even sworn off and said the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. How do I keep in fit spiritual condition, you all? I have a daily reprieve. How do I keep in fit spiritual condition? I do spot checks when I wake up. So I, you know, I got all these amazing gifts from Alcoholics Anonymous that I do. Like I have some exercises and things that I do when I get up in the morning. The first thing I do when I'm up in the morning, I'm down on my knees, 3, 7, and 11, thanking God for another day, you know? And then I get to pray for other people. Oh my God, I pray for other people. That is, I'm blown away. I don't know about you all, but that blows me away because I am selfish and self-centered to my core. And I pray for other people. I actually, other people sometimes will text me and ask me to pray for them. Me. Wow. Thank you, God. You know, so I have some readings that I read from, and I'll, you know, sometimes I do writing meditation or I just sit for 5-10 minutes or so. It just varies, but I do it. I do it. And so then I may send out daily greetings to others, and then at night, and then even throughout the day, you know what I mean? Throughout the day, I meet up with people, the lady that I work with, we pray every day. We pray together. The serenity prayer and a third step. You know, when I meet with my sponsees, we'll lead off either with a prayer or we end with a prayer. Like prayer is all through my life. With my kids, when I don't know what to do, when my granddaughter and daughter were like, about to knock each other's head off right there. I'm just like, you know what, God? I don't know what to do with this. Help us. Help them. Help me to be helpful to them as opposed to criticizing them and telling them what they need to do and what they not need to do. I don't know because I have stopped playing God in people's lives that I love and care about. I leave that up to their God, you know, and that's not the person that I was. So, yeah, okay, keeping in fit spiritual condition. So then at night, you know, I you know, do a daily review of my day. And I love it because there's a spiritual toolkit on the phone. You can download it. It's amazing. That spiritual toolkit is, it is a life changer. It's a game changer, you all. You know, I don't have to carry stuff throughout the day. And what I've noticed, and it's just an awareness. It's not like me grading my paper or anything like that. What I have noticed that I haven't had to do a lot of spot checks as I did a long time. And I don't know what that means. It's just, I just kind of noticed that. And at night, what I notice is that, you know, when I'm doing my spot checks and doing my nightly inventory, I don't have as many fourth steps to do, you know, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So it's easy. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Wait, let me read exactly what it says. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. Yep. And when I do that, I pay for it. You know, I get like kind of dry and I start to get critical. I start to get impatient. I start to get intolerant with others. That fear crop in, you know, it's like, oh, Sandra, what's going on? What am I not doing? What am I not doing in Alcoholics Anonymous? What am I not doing in my program? You know, so I have to be careful. It says we're headed for trouble if we do, because alcohol is a subtle fault. It is subtle, y'all. My alcohol is subtle. It don't start, I'll be like, hey, let's go take a drink today. It's like, you know, You could just tell that little white lie and say, yeah, you did that, even though you know you didn't finish that, you know, or something like that, you know, or I'll start criticizing my home group, or, you know, getting resentful with my sponsees because they're not hurrying up with the work that I think, you know, I want them to be here and there. It's like, you know what, Sandra, there you go again. I start to play God in people's lives. That's what starts to happen too. I get this little mini God thing going on. But anyway, so it says, we're not cured. I am not cured of alcoholism. I'm not cured. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Reprieve, a daily reprieve. State of execution, delay of death. That's big. Reprieve. So it's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And here's another powerful sentence. There's a lot of powerful sentences in here. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities, not some of them, into all of them. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So these are thoughts which must go with me constantly throughout the day, constantly. You know, not every now and then, every blue moon, when a thought pops in my head. Constantly. So we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of the will. I never knew that. It's the proper use of God's will, not Sandra's. And what does the proper use look like? You know, so sometimes things pop up in my heart. You know, it's like I'm going into Whole Foods to buy me some groceries, and there's these immigrants that's been staying over by the armory where the neighborhood that I stay in, and his family. This lady comes up to me. Her name is Maria. She asks if I could buy her some groceries. And I look at her and I look over, and there's her baby and her husband. And I tell her to come in the store with me and ask her to pick out some groceries. That's not me. That is not me. God makes that possible. And I'm not sharing that to be, oh my God, she's so spiritual. No, just an example, just a small example of how God shows up. You know, because it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go to the store today and see if I could like buy somebody some food. No. It just happens like that. It is the proper use of the will. Oh, so much is already said about receiving strength and inspiration and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. See, God has all knowledge and power, not Sandra. If we carefully follow directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we've become God conscious. I have become God conscious now. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. So I have a sixth sense today, you know, that I didn't have a few 24 hours ago. You know, that because I've been doing this work for a while and practicing it, and I continue to practice it, like I have a conscious contact with my God now. You know, that is it's priceless, y'all. It is absolutely priceless. And so I automatically know when something's not right, you know, and God reveals it to me. I constantly ask God, show me the truth. You know, they say a truth seeker is not afraid of the truth. And I am a truth seeker today. I remember like, oh my God, you know, who's that? You can't handle the truth. 5 minutes left. Thank you, Desiree. But today, it's imperative for me to live in the truth. I'm no longer afraid of what living in the truth looks like because I am loved. I'm cared for, and I am safe, and I'm protected. I have a daily reprieve, though. You know, I can't stay sober on the amazing stuff I did yesterday. On home group yesterday was awesome. That was yesterday. Today, it's a whole new day, you all. So guess what? I got to get up and I got to do it again. It may be something different, you know, but God will reveal that to me. I have to keep my house in order. How do I do that? This step allows me that. So it says, but we must go further, and that means more action. You know, there's always more work. So I am, you know, I love all the instructions and the warnings that's in here and the promises, that 10th step promises. We will be restored to sanity. So at this point, I've had some restoration because of the work that I continue to do, because of the action that I continue to take. And I'm so grateful. I am absolutely grateful for this this gift. And I'm full. I have amazing relationships with my family today. They're not perfect, but they are amazing because of this work. You know, I don't live in fear like I used to. And I am so grateful for that. Yeah, that's all I have. I just thank you so much for this opportunity. Peace, love, and purpose. I'll keep coming back, y'all.